Hello, welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pebray and Anna Singh. Join us on our writing journey.
Welcome to Diving Into Writing. It's the 21st of November 2019, and today we're going to be talking about giving and receiving feedback on your writing.
And it's episode 28. Too much to say. There was too much to say, Alan. Yes. So, we both had quite a bit of experience of this.
In different ways, yeah.
Giving and receiving.
Yes, work and in just everyday life, relationships and things, you have to give feedback, don't you?
Yeah.
But we're focusing in today a bit on actually writing and whether we get feedback on our writing, when we get it, and how we give and receive, whether we can take positive criticisms, if you like, and negative ones as well, or positive comments, let's say, and negative, what feels like criticism.
Yeah. That's it. When you said feedback in relationships, it made me think about what we were talking about earlier, which is boundaries.
Mm.
And in a way, I am now thinking that giving successful feedback requires boundaries.
Yeah, good point. And often, if you're in a group, or whether you're, if you're working one-to-one, it's good to establish those first of all.
Mm.
Because once things start, if you're not happy with it, it's harder to go back than if you started straight away with an understanding of what's to be done, how to be done.
Mm.
And that could be in a writing group like we were in, or even if you were doing virtual feedback on something like FaceTime or Skype, about the lengths, about the type of feedback, face-to-face.
I'm just thinking about all the different levels that you have to be able to accept feedback on.
Mm.
And I mean, we very much thought about giving feedback as in helping other writers to improve the writing.
Yeah.
That's what we were originally talking about. Mm. But as we're talking, I'm thinking about reviews on Amazon and how you kind of deal with that.
Yeah.
The positive reviews are easy. They may feel
good. They can be easy, but they're not always easy. Because just think about if someone says, I like that red dress you're wearing. Not that you are, but I'm just using that example. But some of us just cringe and say, oh, it's just a horrible thing I got to Oxfam. And it's hard even to learn to how to take praise.
Yeah. Yes, because, yeah, because you've got to have a certain level of confidence in order to believe that someone is giving you praise, genuine praise, and not wanting something or trying to give you a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, or just the sort of apologetic people that we are sometimes.
Yeah.
Almost apologising for ourselves. So I think you have to have quite a lot of self-belief to take a positive as well as a negative. What might be called negative, it's not really, but it's just, it can feel that way.
Yeah.
If somebody suggests you do something differently, for instance, it feels like criticism and you generally feel hurt.
I don't have a problem with it. That's wrong. I've never had a problem with it, which doesn't mean to say that I would never have a problem with it, but I can't say that I've had a problem. I remember in the writing group that we were in, overall, it was kind of a supportive atmosphere.
Mm.
And when people questioned what you'd done or suggested ways to improve things, it felt like a genuine, people were trying to help.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like criticism. So I don't know. I mean, that's not to say that I took on board what everyone said, because I most certainly did not.
Mm.
Some people would say the opposite to someone else, so you kind of had to make a judgment anyway.
Yeah. And there are so many levels of comment. I mean, starting from a very quick comment like, I liked it.
Yeah.
To tracking and putting detailed comments on someone's work.
Yeah, when I looked up this subject, the advice was that you're not editing someone's work, that it's about giving direction, not so talking very specifically about what you like, so that they can enhance that aspect. Yeah. Or recognise that aspect of the writing and not editing, because that wouldn't be your role. And also, then you end up with a lot of red marks all over the work, which can make it, some people feel upset by it.
Yeah, I think we have something from our school days, don't we, where if something's corrected a lot or got red pen on it, you feel it's wrong.
Yeah.
And you feel maybe some shame. I'm not saying you do necessarily, because maybe you're confident. But we have to think about everyone, don't we? I mean, there's some people. And you were a bit nervous at the very beginning about reading your work.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're 100% confident.
No.
And very few people are. But I think what's quite difficult is if you don't like the person's work that you're hearing in a group.
Yeah.
And we did have ground rules to cover that in that group, which were that there was a certain type of feedback it's all right to do.
Yeah.
Not all negative, for example, like what's wrong with it, what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
But trying to give some constructive point as well.
Yeah.
And often in sort of management terms, it's almost become a cliche now that people try and start with a positive and then they say the thing they want to be changed and then they might end with a positive.
We're all alert for that, though.
We are. I mean, I just found, because I think it's really important to be authentic.
Mm.
And I know you believe in that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
So it's quite hard if somebody does something and you don't really like it.
Mm.
Or you don't really understand it.
Mm.
And you can't say, I didn't like that.
Now, I suppose you can ask questions, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
Genuinely, to find out what it is about.
Yeah.
And then kind of steer them into making it clearer.
Mm.
I suppose that would be the way to go.
If you don't understand it, yeah. And you might say, well, it's not a genre that I'm very familiar with, or something like that.
Yeah.
If it's just not your cup of tea, because you just don't like romantics.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But you then probably try and find something you did like to say, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And there's always something, isn't
there? Yeah, there's always something.
Yeah.
There's always something unique and different about everything, isn't there? We found that out, I think, in the group.
Yeah.
Because everybody tackles even a simple topic really differently from each other. So it's always interesting, and there's usually something you could pick up on.
I think as I mean, the advice is to create a safe space in order to give and receive that feedback. I think that's the other thing, is that you're giving feedback, but you're receiving it as well.
Mm.
So if you slate someone, they can get you back.
Yes.
So I think that's
it, the case of do unto others as you would like to have done to you, or whatever that phrase is.
But do you remember we did have one person who could not take any sort of what she perceived criticism? Yeah,
she got really upset, didn't she?
Even though it was done in a kind way.
Yeah.
So I think that that's something about that some people, it's about recognising that some people are going to struggle with that. And I think, well, I'm not sure what you do about that.
Mm.
Because you can't just tell them everything's wonderful.
No, that's what I was thinking. And you can find something, what we thought we were giving constructive criticism, if you like, but was, not in criticism, constructive points. But some people find, you know, they're very sensitive. And I guess you have to a bit realise that and maybe do things differently with them. But also, it's growing up, isn't it?
Mm.
I mean, when I was a teenager, my stepdad used to say some things about the things I was wearing to go out that really hurt my feelings.
Did they? Like, because if my dad
like
had
a sack.
Yeah, if my dad had said that, I'd have been like, oh, you're just so cool. If he'd have liked anything I was going out in, I would have had to change.
Really? You see, that's where you're very good. I wish I'd been like that. I know, I used to sometimes have a bit of a tantrum and say I'm not going after all and stomp about my house and stuff.
I'm just rebellious. That's all it is. I think it is something you said there, though. It is about the way you see things.
Mm.
So we were talking before we started recording. We were talking about my latest novel, weren't we? And Amy. So Amy's done the edits on it. So there were quite a few plot holes that I had to sort out. But I enjoy that, and I don't. You know, when you get stuff back from, even when I get stuff back from an editor and there's loads of things that they've got in red for you to sort out or things that they want you to rework, I don't see that negatively at all. I just see the piece as coming together more or getting better.
Is it a bit like a puzzle, your problem solving?
And it's about the end result and about making it better. And you were saying it was about confidence, but I suppose I'm not going into it thinking that I've done a masterpiece.
Mm.
I'm thinking I've done something.
Yeah.
I've created something, but that it can be better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going in with that attitude. So it's not upsetting to me when someone comes back and says, actually, that bit doesn't work or that bit needs changing.
Mm.
Because I'm looking ahead, not back at what I've done.
Yeah, so you're appreciating that you'll get to a better place as a result.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, if you've spent 10 years working on one book and that's your baby, thinking about it that way is going to be very different to thinking about, so this book is just a book and I'm going to write loads more books.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if it's not, you know, the one or perfect, or because I'm not expecting that.
Maybe it links back to what you were saying about compassion, because being compassionate to yourself, that you learned at yoga, which is, and then you can be more compassionate to other people. Mm. But maybe what you're talking about in a way is that you are self-compassionate.
Yeah.
So you forgive yourself for not being perfect for a start.
Yeah,
you don't
maybe.
Feel you've got to be perfect. And therefore you can take on board some comments. You don't have to agree with all of them, like you said earlier. If you don't agree, you don't do it, do you?
No, I do appreciate, though, that someone with a level of expertise, so like with Laura, I would have probably agree with most of hers because of her level of expertise, and actually she just was right. And with Amy, there isn't anything that we've kind of disagreed on.
Mm.
So there isn't anything that I go, she'll say, oh, well, I think you should change that name because it's very similar. And I think, oh, yeah, she's right. It is.
It is useful to have somebody like that that you can talk to. But according to your definition, we're not so much talking about an editor.
Yes, yeah.
As just a...
But it is feedback. It is giving feedback.
Yeah, feedback within a stage of equals, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like in a group or between two people. And sometimes when I've not been able to think of much to say, I felt like just saying, yeah, I like that.
Mm.
Or not. But you kind of need to give people a bit more, don't you?
Mm. Yeah.
Like, what was it you liked?
Yeah. You need to be specific, otherwise it's not useful to them, isn't it? Isn't it? Or they feel that you're being lazy or don't really like it because you can't say why you like it which is why you shouldn't show it to family and friends.
Another major point. Or too many people.
Yeah.
At the start. Because, like you said in the group, people don't always have the same bits that they like and don't like. Yeah. So if you have 12 people, they might, you know, they won't all have the same thing that they appreciate or not. And then family members are so much invested in their feelings about you as well.
Yeah.
And you with them.
But it's I'm just thinking of Marcus.
Yes.
And he is hypercritical.
Yeah.
But
he does give specific comments. He does give one of the things you said you like. Yeah.
And he is usually right.
Yes.
That's the other thing that's very, very annoying because he's not, he's a musician, he's not a writer. Although he does write songs, but...
But he's a reader. He reads a lot.
He does read a lot, yeah.
So, where are we with this? Are we saying there are some guidelines for giving positive feedback?
Well, I looked into this, and the guidelines are creating a safe environment...
Mm-hmm.
Giving as much positive as you give negative. Give observations, not interpretations. So I suppose that comes down to asking for clarity around things that aren't clear rather than trying to guess. And also pointing out what bit works and what bit could be clearer maybe or...
Mm. So have we gone into more like negative or constructive criticism now?
I think it is about constructive criticism, isn't it? So always about constructive.
Yeah, so really negative may not be an appropriate word at all.
I mean, when I looked at feedback, it wasn't just about writing, it was about, but you could apply a lot of it to writing. It was also about reading the whole thing. Before you started to...
Oh, yes. Well, that's good. Yeah. That's a good tip.
And not to nitpick.
Yeah.
And remember, it's a critique and not a review.
What does that mean?
Well, that means that it's not about your opinion. Well, it is about your opinion, but that's not the focus. The focus is about improving the work or improving... person's writing, not about giving your opinion of the piece and whether it's good or bad.
Not like a book review on the back of a book. Yeah. So it's helping them to move forward with the writing.
Yeah. And like I say, I've only had. So I suppose the other tip would be careful who you get.
Yeah.
Who you get feedback from. And I think a writing group, generally, if you've got good ground rules and a good tutor, is a good...
Well, we certainly have that. So you said you liked something I did, which was questions.
Yes, because you do that.
Well, what is it that you like? What or found useful, let's say, because people might like to think about it.
Well, my experience of being Annad is that rather than say, why don't you do this, you will ask a question to get me to think about different ways of doing things. So you said that you're not conscious of it.
No, not. But I may have been conscious in the past of the idea of questions. Open questions in other contexts completely.
Yeah.
More probably to do with work.
Yeah.
But then I guess, or maybe because of coaching, because you know I did coaching.
Yeah.
But it's now something I don't notice. So I wouldn't have known that I'd done that. I don't know.
That's really funny because, and how long have I known you? this is the first time I've realised that he wasn't conscious.
Yeah.
So
maybe sometimes it is, but
I'm going to ask you now. I'm going to check.
You see, it might have been conscious for a moment then. I might have just, but I think it's almost natural. If anyone, but I might have been a bit conscious I was doing it, but if you'd asked me, which you kind of did, whether I know I do it, I almost didn't in this context. Because when you do coaching like I did, and it was nothing to do with writing, you know, you spend a lot of time trying to give people the space to think about what they're doing without you keeping on jumping in.
Like counselling.
It's not quite the same as counselling, but you do like counselling. But because coaching is more like what's happening now and not going into the past. And so therefore I suppose it's just become a bit of a thing I do without quite realising, or not every time, certainly.
I'm going to point it out now.
Well, I'm glad if it was useful. But I think sometimes it's quite a difficult thing to give feedback. I know in the group sometimes I've really liked the writing. Of course, I found that easier. Because sometimes as well you know, have ideas as a person's reading their work. You can almost know what you're going to say. But sometimes you might just have enjoyed it and then thought, well, I wasn't thinking. You know, I almost wasn't thinking. I was just enjoying it, like you do with some kind of reading. You just read for pleasure, don't you? You don't really think. And sometimes it might mean that I literally didn't have an idea what I could say to that person. And that would maybe happen if it was a style of writing that I found I didn't particularly care for. So very flowery language, for instance. And that's difficult because you know that some people do like that kind of writing. Or reading. And I don't. So then you have to be rather careful, I think, and go very gently, gently.
The thing about doing it in a group as well is that there's always someone that has an opinion about things or has a lot to say about things. So it doesn't all land on you. So you don't necessarily have to come up with an awful lot of points. Because you can. There's always someone else willing to.
And sometimes people genuinely have said everything that you would have said. In which case you just have to say, that's it. People have covered what I was going to say.
Or you can always claim not to have read it.
Well, if it's reading, ever. Yeah. I was thinking part of this used to happen when we read out our work, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, that put you on the spot a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But there wasn't the same expectation to give a critique on that, was there?
And not everybody did. We didn't always go all around the group. No. Well, we occasionally did, I think, but not always.
Yeah, and that, do it writing in a group, and that isn't one of my strengths. So coming up with a piece on the hoof, if you like, isn't one of my strengths.
So in the group as well, there was a difference between feedback from each other and feedback from our tutor. And that was usually quite detailed and often using a tracking on the computer.
Yeah, with comments.
Comments. So do you find that useful?
Yeah, I did. And I used to listen to what the tutor had to say, not so much what everyone else had to say.
Do you like to have the tracking device on so you can see it on paper or on the screen? Or is that almost too much?
To be honest, I'm easy. I don't mind. I'm not one that keeps all that stuff. So once I've taken on board, it'll go in the bin. So sorry to anyone that spent a lot of time.
I had some quite good feedback. I can remember one particular comment. And I don't think it was the tutor, I think it was one of the group. And I had a scene where all my characters, early on in the story, are in one place. And it doesn't open with that, but it's very early on, after you've met two of the characters, you then meet all of the characters, nearly. And some crop up much later. But the person said, couldn't you have them coming in one by one instead of all being there? because I think it was harder to follow when they were already all there. And I thought that was a useful kind of comment.
Yeah.
And I'm still thinking of it, actually, because I'm feeling a bit lazy because it means a bit of a rewrite on it. But I'm still thinking that perhaps that would have been a better way of doing it.
Well, let me just say that as someone who has spent all week filling in plot holes, it's not as much work as you think it's going to be. Because you start off thinking, oh... And then when you actually do it, it's a couple of lines and that sorts it.
It could be,
Yeah, not always, but yeah. But not, it's never as much work as you think it's going to be.
Would your life be better or worse without any feedback of any kind?
Worse.
So in general, we could say we like getting feedback.
I love getting feedback. And anybody that wants to give us any feedback about the podcast, please do. Just be kind. Okay, bye for now. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.